Now the question arises, where does all this lead? Whither does it all tend? Now, in effect, and I don't know, I'm not sure whether this was in the bishop's mind when he wrote his book, but so far as I can see it, it all leads, it all tends in the direction of the idea of what we might call non-theistic religion. Even, paradoxical as it may sound, to non-theistic Christianity. That is Christianity without God, the possibility of which the bishop himself seems to be quite aware of. And this is, of course, certainly a very startling and a very revolutionary idea. Not just religion without God, but even Christianity without God. As I've said, almost apparently a contradiction in terms. Now, though the bishop seems to be quite aware of the direction in which he's moving, some people might even say drifting, he doesn't seem to be aware, not so far as these two books are concerned, that is, Honest to God and the New Reformation, he doesn't seem to be aware of the fact that the idea that religion can be non-theistic, that there can be religion, religious life, spiritual life in their fullness, without the idea of a personal God, a supreme being, a creator and governor of the universe. He doesn't need to be aware that this is a very ancient idea, nothing new at all. In the West, in the Middle East also, at least since classical times, religion has necessarily been theistic. If you were religious, you believed in God. If you believed in God, you were religious. The two things were interchangeable. But in the East, especially in the Far East, this has certainly not been the case. We have to enlarge our horizons a little. We have to recognize the fact that in the East, especially the Far East, since ancient times, there has been what we may call a whole family of non-theistic religions. Not just one, many of them. In ancient China, Taoism, Confucianism, both teachings, very great moral and spiritual teachings, which say not one word about God. Then again in India, Jainism, a little older even than Buddhism. No mention of God. Then later on in India, in Hinduism, the Advaita Vedanta, the non-dualistic Vedanta, gets along perfectly well without the idea of God. If God comes in at all, it's just as a relative truth, or way of concession, as it were, through the ignorance of people. Shankara says, well, if there is a God, it's just the absolute seen through the veil of ignorance. But above all, in India, in the East generally, especially in the Far East, we have an example, perhaps the most prominent example, of non-theistic religion in Buddhism. We might even go so far as to say that Buddhism is almost the perfect example of a religion, of a spiritual way of life, a way of salvation, a way of enlightenment, which has been worked out fully in all its details, in all its ramifications, ethical, psychological, philosophical, metaphysical, artistic, without reference, without a single reference to the idea of God. Now, this being so, we can begin to appreciate the significance, even the importance, to Buddhists of this phenomenon, as we may call it, of the Bishop of Woolwich. those who are not Buddhists, those perhaps who are Christians present, may be able to understand now why the Bishop of Woolwich has almost a fascination for some Buddhists, because he represents to them a movement of ideas, at least, within the bosom of the Church towards a non-theistic form of religion, religion without the personal God. And therefore, he represents at the same time to them a movement, as it were, of approximation to Buddhism. I don't know, I can't say, whether the good bishop himself realizes this. He might even be horrified to think of himself as a crypto-Buddhist. I don't even know whether he knows anything about Buddhism. In his first book, Honest to God, there's no reference to the Buddha whatsoever or to Buddhism. He appears completely oblivious of the existence of all other religions. There's a rather unfortunate little quotation from Bonhoeffer, who speaks of the followers of other religions worshipping various monstrous animal forms and so on. But I don't think the good bishop takes that very seriously. And in his other book, that is The New Reformation, recently published, there's just one passing reference to the Buddha. And also I should add to Muhammad. I think it's not without significance that the name of Muhammad is spelled wrongly. The name of the Buddha he's got right, fortunately. But it's just a passing reference. The mere name is there. One can't come to understand from this what the Buddha, the bishop feels about the Buddha or about Buddhism. And I think this is rather a pity. I can't really help thinking that a knowledge of Buddhism, by which of course I mean an understanding of Buddhism, not just an acquaintance with the facts of the history of Buddhism, and especially a knowledge of that very special form of Buddhism which we call Zen, would help the bishop quite a lot in his religious quest and his spiritual life. Perhaps, I hope that this will be so, perhaps one day he'll get around to studying Buddhism seriously. I shouldn't be at all surprised, because it does seem to me that he is, whether he knows it or not, heading in this direction.